Now we're getting ready to take right on off here very shortly. And we're going to need a kind of supernatural strength.
Yes, we are.
And any time that you take a step into your future that's going to be significant, that the devil is really mad at you about, he's going to put up a fight of one kind or another. It doesn't matter what it is if you know what to do. You remember with me in Joshua 1, verse 3, and someone reminded me of this recently in a prayer meeting, I think it was. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I did unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea flowing, the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee. Now listen to you, I'm talking to you. He's talking to Joshua, but this is talking to you. Any enemies are not going to be able to stand before you. All the days of your life, as it with Moses, so it be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I've had people ask me if I believe in prosperity. I said, oh, I don't believe in failure. God, people got such wild ideas about it. Of course, God wants to give you all kinds of things and all kinds of ways to prosper. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither thou be dismayed? The Lord doesn't want a bunch of sissies. He wants a bunch of powerful men and women, full of courage, and not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. These are Joshua's instructions that he may go and prosper there. God's condition is that we are to be strong and very courageous. God gave the land, and there were conditions that would keep them connected with God. The conditions for succeeding would keep them connected with God. So they would have strength. And the condition was this: meditate in the words of the law day and night. Now, this thing of meditation, when we first started in this ministry, I had just my very early mentors and Kenneth Hagin on the shelf. And Kenneth Hagin told me that I needed to learn to meditate. Now, he said that you can't be full of the Word and have the power of the Word unless you learn to meditate, which gets the Word in you. Right. Not just coming out of your brain through your mouth, but all through you, cellular. That Word, I live by the Word of God. And the Lord did give me this Word when we began in the ministry. When we embarked upon this vision, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon shall the Lord give you. Well, as I walked in front of the bulldozer, as Moses did his walk, and now he's telling me to walk all the property, which I did. And I did walk completely all around the land, and the Lord gave us the promise that the promises that go with the land. We have developed a large portion of the vision he's given us, but everybody said together, the best is yet to come. He showed me at that time the great power of meditation. And then we were singing the scriptures, and all the scriptures that were singable I marked in my Bible. so that when I would have my devotions in the morning, I wouldn't just read, I would sing those and go into worship. And this is how I learned large portions of the Bible. I know a lot of the Bible because I sang it. And we want to really get our kids into this. And they're going to learn these songs. They're easy to sing, but they become a part of you. As you sing them, as you declare them, as you pray them. I learned to love the Word and hide it in my heart, as well as to proclaim it and declare it. Thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You've got to hide the Word in your heart. You know, people hear that somebody did something, somebody said something, they're going to do something, I think, they ought to read the Word. Hide the Word in your heart. It'll keep you on the right track. But biblical meditation is neglected. It's hardly even taught. But without it, you're going to not be very strong, and you're going to be greatly lacking in courage. Western meditation is intellectual. Eastern meditation is empty your mind and zone out. But then there's biblical meditation. The Jewish biblical meditation, it literally means to reflect, to moan. This is the definition. It means to reflect, go from mutter to ponder. Meditate or contemplate something. To meditate upon the scriptures is to quietly repeat them in a soft song while utterly abandoning outside distractions from our world. A specialized type of Jewish transition that is reciting, is reciting the word, talking, praying, transferring or getting lost in communion with God, just giving you a field to think from. You don't have to go pray tomorrow and say, oh, Lord, what? I've got to mutter, I've got to moan. Please don't be weird. I'm just giving you a background. They would always go back and forth. If you see people at the Wailing Wall, this rocking, that's actually the physical response in a public meditation. It's usually rather mellow, but that they will begin to do this together at the Wailing Wall, which is what you do in biblical meditation. They will rock or they will walk. What is that prayer leader's name that's always rocking? Yeah, thank you. Lou Engle. Lou Engle rocks all the time, even when he's not praying. He just couldn't get out of it. He's a prayer. To take the word and its meaning into your heart, I'm telling you what it is, meditation, into your heart and life, and then love it by speaking softly or singing it. Or I have one, I don't know if it's Hagen or someone else, says the best way to describe meditation is like a cow chewing its cud, bringing it up again and doing it over and saying, I like that pretty good, I'm going to do it again. You bring up what's in there and you let it come forth again. I had no idea from my early use of meditation that it was so powerful. But God shows us the way to be strong in our minds and spirit. We have to find a way to walk in, listen, mental strength and health. Did you know that there are people in the world that are called healthy-minded? My grandmother was one of them. You have to go several generations to find another one, just kidding. There's a lot of mental illness today. There's a lot of mental weakness. There's a lot of mental sickness, but it's one of the reasons is because people don't understand how to meditate in the Word. Amen. Be of strength and good courage. Let not the word of this word depart from your mouth. We're not in the Word. We don't sing it. We don't say it nearly enough. I was in the Caribbean one time, and we all piled into this van. As soon as they sat down, they started singing and praising God. And then I thought about, I was in Chicago somewhere once, and we got in the van, and they started discussing who wasn't there and blah, 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 and this and that. And I thought, bleh. It was just so nice, so much nicer in the other van, and I didn't care about the other things there. We spend so much energy talking and hearing things that are not going to make us be strong.
Amen.
And of good courage. I'm telling you, in days ahead, you've got to be strong supernaturally.
Yes.
The devil will try to discourage you with everything he knows. We have to find a way to walk in mental strength and health. For there will be many adversaries. There were many in the beginning, and we faced many adversaries, ones I'd never even heard of. And we will face them again as we charter new land and go forth and set up new places where God is going to bring his glory and from where his work is going to be done. When you take on a grand calling, you have to be willing for pretty tough adversaries, because he would love to overthrow you. So I figured you'd want me to tell you, to the best of my ability, how to meditate. If I can have my little helpers up here, we'll take a step back here and become very humble. How many of you ever practiced being humble? There you go.
I don't know.
Will said it's one of his proudest things. Oh, I'll need some notes. That'll help. What great guys you are. Thank you. Let's see now. Happily, in the charismatic movement, when it broke out, some of you weren't there, some of you didn't know about it, some of you were there. But when God gets ready to move from time to time, he just goes ahead and moves. And he doesn't ask anybody, when that Iron Curtain came back and those things suddenly began to happen, people didn't know that was going to happen, except the Holy Ghost, because he can get behind any wall, no matter what. And it was so amazing. When the charismatic movement broke out, early 70s, God brought a fresh expression in song and worship. Fresh expression. Before that time, we were only singing Sims. Singing hymns. Or sometimes like gospel music. And my mother used to go around singing, "Oh, dear Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, dear Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Was that Teresa? Is that gospel music?
Carol.
What kind of music is it, Carol? Gospel music? All right. So, because my mother was in the Pentecostal church when I was a child, I heard a lot of those songs I'll still sing today in my worship. And my grandmother and my grandmother and my father and my uncle and I, my grandmother would play the piano, and we'd all stand around the piano. And they talked about something called shaped notes. And it was really quite... Back in those days, music was just simple, and somebody came around and taught how to do with shaped notes. I just think about how casual and everything it was. But I want to point out something to you. I don't know exactly what an all the spirit is, but you guys really raised the roof when we sang "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Now, why was that? Oh, because it speaks the heart.
Yes.
And because whoever wrote it went through something to get it.
Yes.
It wasn't the quota for the week. It wasn't rearranged by somebody special. It was out of somebody's heart, and now it's still doing that to our hearts. We need to let our voices be heard in work. By the way, when somebody sings a solo and then we sing the verse, sing the solo. It's all part of the worship. We don't mean to be breaking it. We want you to sing everything. See, when they're just singing it out for you. But you go right in there with them. God wants to hear your voices. Well, this is not about worship. This is about something else. So in the day of the charismatic movement is known as the day of teaching. You know what had happened in the charismatic? Oh, it was the most wonderful thing. We didn't even know it until we were in it. But what happened was we found the word again. It was like in Jeremiah when it said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. And we used to sing that. Can you sing it, Julie? No?
Thy words were found,
and I did eat them. Thy words were found,
and I did
eat. Thy words were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I am called by thy name, Lord God of hosts. Yes. Now think about it. Think about it now. Put yourself being in any denominational church like almost all of us were. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, don't leave out the Catholics. And all of these different churches, because the word was such a magnet. Somebody found it. The anointing of the Holy Ghost came upon those that God had designated to bring forth the word in power and reality. And we started studying the word, and then Bible studies sprang up. And we were one of them. And we sang the scripture before we would hear the teaching. Now, mind you, I stayed about maybe as much as three ahead of the teaching, because I'd just come into it too. Except that one of my early mentors told me that I knew more word than any of the people there, because my mother took me to the Pentecostal church regularly when I was a child, which we were very interested in, our kids really knowing the word of God in this place. But you know that the word, when the word was found, the scripture says they rejoiced before God and stood in the rain and listened to the reading of the word. Now, it was the day of teaching because men had forgotten the word of God and how they felt they had recovered a great treasure. And we were all so excited about it. And so it was the day of teaching. And if you could find somebody that could teach something. I went up into Virginia. Well, I just tell you, it was Charles and Mary King, who were in the church for quite a while. He was president of the college up there. And she said, do you have any more of this kind of teaching? And I said, I have a few tapes in the trunk of my car. Everybody doesn't start out from the trunk of your car. Most people start out from a storefront. Something like that. I sold her some tapes, because in those days they were expensive, it seemed to me. And so she said to me, I didn't know what in the world this was about. I just knew this was the most word I'd ever heard. I can only express anointing on the word of God by saying, this is the most word I've ever heard. And when you go home, you take something with you. So I sold her a bunch of tapes. Now people just get out their little phones and dial up our podcast. And hallelujah. And some people are too busy too. But if you want to do that, it's a way to get a good meal. And if you didn't understand it the first time, try it again. One of the songs we sang for joy of finding his word so we could meditate on it. Their words were found and I did eat them. We take certain scripture or verses today even as watchwords. God will minister something to us in a prayer meeting and then he'll just give that word lives. And we say it, we pray it, we say it to each other and we sing it. We work that thing over until it really becomes part of us. Now, we believe that the Word of God is a living thing. And we don't believe it's just black words on white paper. And we believe that we can get it inside ourselves. And it's the power that'll give us courage and strength. We took Psalm 91 as one great watchword of protection. I always put that in my suitcase with me when I was doing a lot of flying. But I would also pray my own prayer. I thank you, Lord, that your faithfulness reaches to the clouds and that you give your angels charge over me no matter where I am. I'd always remember certain parts of Psalm 91. So then they, in this way, they became a part of our being. Now, I'm wondering about this because recently I heard a message by, I was going to say he's one of my favorite speakers, but I don't know what his name is. I heard a message by him, and he was actually talking about meditating. And he was talking about how very much it was a part of his life. And that people had lost the art of meditation. I've heard Kenneth Hagin say people have lost the art of intercession. Basically means you just don't know how to do it. It's a nice way to say it. You've lost the art of. I'm talking a little bit today about the art of meditation. Why? Because you're going to need it to have courage in the days. Well, what's it going to do for you? I just tell you, when I start meditating on the Word, it just brings me to a different place. And it teaches me. And sometimes I sing out of the Scriptures, and sometimes I just speak them slowly. But it will be something that then becomes a part of me, whatever the subject is, whatever the need is. Brother Hagin said he was so surprised when people would come asking to prayer for healing, and he'd say, well, what verse are you standing on? And they'd say, huh? He said, I was amazed that they weren't even standing on any verse of Scripture. Well, there's a lot of Scriptures for feet that I found to stand on. It's very clear to me that my feet are beautiful. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that preach good news. And so there's a lot of things that talk about how God is going to protect the feet and strengthen the feet and keep the feet. So whatever healing you guys need, find yourself a scripture on that part of the body.
Amen.
It could be on the blood, it could be in the mind, something about your brain. It could be some oppression that the enemy is bringing. And so be sure that you go through the Scriptures and find Scriptures that you can be meditating on.
Yes.
I think that if we understood how living, maybe if I say it like this, in the beginning was the Word was with God. All right. And nothing that was created except by him. All right. So in the beginning was the Father, the Spirit, the Word, but the Word is mentioned first. The Word became flesh, was formed into Jesus the Son, and dwelt among them. So when you have the Word, you have Jesus. And it will always be a living word. And so he said in Matthew 4:2, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We live by God's word, and by the word, it is continually proceeding from God. Not just the black words on the white paper, but we live by the proceeding word. That's why you want to go to church where the preaching is anointed, because that'll be a proceeding word. It'll be what God wants to say to you now. The Logos word is that which is written on the page, but the Rhema word is the word right now for today.
Amen.
And from time to time, God will speak a Rhema word to a church. Or he spoke, I think he has spoken a Rhema word to all the church when they got the understanding, which I mentioned to you, that they were not to be involved in these big conferences, but that they were to settle on, they needed to get their relationship with God tight and get back into relationship with each other. And then he would give them a fresh assignment. I believe that's true. And I believe that we need that. That was a rhema word, and I took it. It was written to Mike Bickle, and two or three others said that they got that word, and they all got together, and they'd all had the same word. And when I read that, I said, I'd take that word. That's true. And it has stirred us in these two directions, too, to begin to move out in those directions. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, you cannot live by bread alone. If we understand this, then we will give ourselves to time in prayer every day, every morning, and let that word be hidden away, and come to times where we can receive teaching, and in prayer meetings where we also will receive the ministry of the word, and where we will have the living word, and we will learn to meditate. And don't just see that. I shared with somebody a little piece of scripture, nobody in this church, is a little piece of scripture that would help them take care of their problem. And so I just read the scripture, and it's what God says about this. And the person said to me, I agree with that. I thought, I didn't tell you to agree with it. I told you to receive it from God. It was like I was just reading her just a little piece of poetry, you know. Well, I agree with that. That's a good way to think. But we've got to learn to take that word and really meditate. Meditate on the word of God. And those of you that don't know how to cry, it'd be good if you just ask the Lord to teach you. Because it softens your heart. And it makes a way for the Spirit of God to be moved. And don't be afraid that anybody will think you're weird. We certainly won't hear. So it's so good to know. It's so good to know that God has given us a means now. Here's a weapon that we can use every day. I take the word of God with me where I go.
Amen.
You know, you can shut out a lot of other stuff that's no good for your mind or your heart. You can shut that out by meditating when you're out in other places, out at the gas station, in the grocery store, and things like that. There's always one gas station. I say, oh, Joan, do you have to stop here? And as soon as she opens the car door, it's, you know, I'd be quietly maybe reading something. I feel like I've been struck by lightning. No, it was just the music outside. Wow, music's not music anymore. It's just anything that people decide to throw out there and hang a note on it. So not just music, but I'm also talking about just the things that you hear. And nowadays, you can hear anything, anytime. It's amazing how shall I say, there's just no guardedness anymore. There's no understanding that some people might not want to hear that kind of thing. I have to tell you this, I'm almost through, but I don't want you to get too serious about yourself. But I do think you're paying attention. I think this is really good. You know who Dr. Ruth Peterson is? She comes to our conferences, and she has a great church. And so I'd go up there fairly often and minister. And so one day I was just sitting by the poolside, just resting. And this man has this music on his little box he had with him. And I won't even say in the sanctuary what the music said. I thought, you got to be kidding. I'm sitting here. This is a public place. You're playing this music. So I finally just decided, well, hey, I'm a person too. I just happened to not bring a music box. And so I just turned to him and I said, "Would do you think you could get some other kind of music?" Because he had to know that could be offensive to somebody. And he said, "Well, what kind of music do you like?" And I said, "Well, I'm not really excited about any of it, but if I didn't have that playing, I'd do better with what I'm working on here." And he was not at all happy about it, but I told Dr. Peterson about it. She was incensed. "You were not going to stay there ever again." By the way, they put me in a place I like so much better, and I've been there ever since. That's the end of a good story, isn't it?
Yeah.
But stuff's so bad that if you don't have something in your ear to block it, then it's going to drag you into that ugly picture with it. I ain't going there. And so that's just what I tell people. I'm not listening to that. You can even go into a hospital in a waiting room, and they can have awful movies on there that you wouldn't want your children to see and that you shouldn't see either. And so you could have your headphone in, you know, reading scripture or listening to some tape or something like that. If we work at finding a way not to let the other things come in, because see, when you meditate, you actually do block out the other things that want to come in. Somebody told me that was in my home, "Oh, it's quiet in here." It's quiet in here. They said, "You know, I always have the radio going or something going or something going." Well, you know, I'm not going to say anything. But I thought, yeah. But I'm trying to teach her the word, and she learned the word faster. She didn't have all that other stuff come cluttering in. That's just all there is to it. You don't need to be jerked around by the world. What are they doing? You know, when I hear that some movie star has gotten up on some political thing, I thought, so what? You're just a movie star. I mean, people ought to at least pay some kind of price to become a politician, shouldn't they? So you'll hear a lot of things coming for no good reason. And learning to meditate and keep the word in your heart and be singing it when you're driving around. Now, it's really hard to interrupt the singing of a psalm with a, "Hey, creepy, get out of the way." If the guy pulls out in front of you, you probably wouldn't say that as quickly.
I don't know. More prayer. More prayer needed.
Oh, dear. And so it occurred to me that I haven't taught anything along this line in quite some time. And I said, you know, we are going into the next part of our great promise here coming up, and we need to be strong. And we're going to have enemies, and sometimes our enemies are going to get into our heads, that they're going to make us feel uncourageous or try to tear us down or bring us down. And you know what? We're not going to let them. We're going to sing, and we're going to meditate. We're going to let that word come back again and again and again. And then here's the other thing. Here's the other law of going into the promised land so the enemy doesn't get you down. And we're going to sing that, Jimmy. Are you awake, Jim?
Yeah.
The joy. He opened his eyes. He was awake. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, I have this written down here. Nehemiah 8. That's in Nehemiah 8. Because Nehemiah just told them, you know, just go, everybody feast and have a good time. Doesn't matter what's happening here, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, this is a very real thing. I'm talking about joy converts to a spiritual reality.
Yes.
and become strength to your mind and to your whole psyche. And it destroys fear. It's hard to be afraid when you have joy. You might be singing scared, but at least you're singing. I want to see us be a joyful people. In every kind of situation, I want us to look on the promise of God. Don't pray your problem. Pray God's answer to your problem, which is the Word of God. And God has given us a way to be joyful through all of this and to be, and one of the things that Bill Johnson said about it, the Lord had spoken it to him again, that we need to be healthy minded.
Yes.
We need to be healthy minded. And just a lot of things that I hear where people make snap decisions that are ridiculous. And in my mind I say, well, give that one 3 months. And that's about how long it lasts. We can't live that way.
Right.
And we can't be getting down. We can't be getting to be big time doubters. We've got to know that we are the people of the joy.
Yes.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. And then we used to sing different verses. If you want joy, you must dance for it. And we would have people doing everything in the world to get joy. But I don't really think dancing brings you joy, but I think it sets you free from not being able to receive joy. Here's another thing, and I'm almost through, but this is just a word from your pastor. Try to save all those words that go on all week long. Don't save all of them, but save some of those words and put them back here somewhere to be used for speaking the Word of God and declaring His promises and just praising God. So I think some people have made a covenant with silence. You know, sometimes you're in a congregation, let's all say praise the Lord, and there's one fellow over here that I think, praise the Lord, open your mouth. Hey, and it makes you want, if you're leading, it makes you want to jump straight up and down, which sometimes people do, but we really advise our people not to do that. And just jump up and down and say, I said praise the Lord. But I'm wondering about this. What if we'd make a covenant with our mouth to praise the Lord?
Yes.
Now when the opportunity comes, I will praise the Lord. You know how the Africans always pull and push and they prod at us until we do it. Well, I didn't ask you to praise the Lord, but if you're going to do it, do a good job of it. Come on, clap your hands, everybody praise.
Yeah.
You know, when they call me, God has to give me some patience. When they call me from Africa, I can't. Sometimes I don't even know who they say they are. So when that happens, I say, hey, did you say this is so-and-so to make sure I'm talking to the right person? Yes, Dr. Zhu, I've been wondering how you've been doing. And then they start off with a long thing, and you say, Lord, let me catch every third word. Please help me. But they're always after you to praise the Lord. And you call Augustine, he can be in the biggest mess in the world. You can say, how you doing, Augustine? Oh, God is good, Dr. Zhu. Because they're not going to tell you a big problem. They're just going to brag on God. See, they've learned a real good thing about the joy of the Lord is my strength. But if they need something, they'll tell you. They don't play games about it. I'm just simply saying they don't go around talking about the great difficulties. They go around talking about the goodness of our God.
Yes.
And how many of you are ready to take the next giant step?
Amen.
Into where things are going to get better than they've ever been before.
Yes.
And God is going to thrust us into His plans for us. I am greatly looking forward to it. Let's stand together. Lord, we just love You and thank You today for Your precious promises to us. And every promise is in Christ Jesus. Yea and amen.
Yes.
Now, Lord, we are coming to You to say we give ourselves this day to a people who are going to be strong and have courage. We will not have fear. We will not Let us think that something is a big problem, that's only a small one. We do not have a grasshopper mentality. And we are not going to say the giants in this land are bigger than we ever thought. We're just going to say, we thought they'd be big, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that you have been preparing us. You have been preparing us year by year for the next thing you want us to be involved in. And we say, Lord, we want to be your people. And let's say this together, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Again, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, Lord, we are looking to you for a brand new day. We're looking to you that you will make us to be people that will declare your word and meditate and sing your truth, and that will declare and proclaim your greatness and goodness in every and all situations. We thank you, Lord, that as we were in the worship service this morning and just reached out to you and touched you, we come to say, Lord, I just reach out to you again this morning. I pray for every person with every need that they have, for every healing, for every oppression, for every need of the psyche, wherever there's any discouragement, fear, or oppression, I declare that gone in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
I declare that the power in the name of Jesus and his blood is greater. I cover you with his blood today. The blood of Jesus covers us and keeps us from every will and purpose of the enemy. And today we thank you for a new joy.
Yes.
A new joy. And thank you for that one thing that you require of us, that we will meditate on your word day and night, and that's our weapon. And that fills us, our minds and our whole bodies, until, Lord, we are protected from the lies and purposes of the enemy. We say, it's a new day. We're a new people.
A new day.
We're filled with faith.
Faith.
It's not like yesterday.
No.
It's like what God makes it tomorrow.
Yes.
And we are glad that we are a part. Amen?
Today is the day of salvation.
Hallelujah. And next Sunday's Mother's Day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, don't forget to come.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. Have a great week.